You're listening to Senior Stories, the voices of the class of 2020. This podcast was recorded virtually with limited internet connectivity during the COVID-19 global pandemic. We apologize for the effect on the quality of the sound. This interview was conducted by Nicholas Lampietti, class of 2021.
Can you tell me what your full name is and where home is for you?
My full name is Chloe Yanshan Tang, and home for me is Paris, France, and Shanghai, China.
Well, first, before I get to the first question, I have to ask you about that. So you are the only person to have given two homes. What? So you consider both of them your home? You were raised in both places, or like, what's your connection? Why do you...
Yeah, I was born in Paris. It's where my parents met. It's where they got married. I lived there for a lot of my early childhood. And I moved back to China for my dad's job. And I've been living here in Shanghai for most of my life. But since we've been at boarding school, there are only really two breaks that I get to go home for. And that's Christmas and summer. So... my family has these traditions of meeting up together in France for Christmas break. And then during the summer, we usually leave out a month back in Shanghai altogether. So right now, I can't really decide. Like, I was back in France for spring break, and I came back to Shanghai after that. Yeah.
I just think it's so cool that you said, you know, that's why we asked not where do you live, but where you think of, you know, where's home for you? Because we want people to give those answers, places that mean a lot to them. And anyway, it's just so cool that you have had such great experiences in both places. And anyway, awesome. So how are you doing right now with everything that's happening? Walk me through some of your feelings, some of your reactions what's happening right now.
I mean, it's definitely hard. To be away from my friends, this is supposed to be the best time of our entire high school career. You know, senior spring is supposed to be about having fun and about kind of remembering how appreciating everything that we've been through and remembering our past together. And I guess it's really hard that we don't really have that. I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to work my way around it. But I guess there's so much uncertainty right now. I mean, I was just talking to my parents about this, and it breaks my heart that the past 4 years, I'm looking back right now, and we don't have closure. We don't have a proper ending for the past 4 years, and we might not have a proper beginning for the next four, which is crazy and hard to handle, but I think being with my family is also good. I'm trying my best to work with the time difference. And honestly, I think I would be better off here than in California, where they have to wake up at 6 a.m. I'm definitely a night owl, so it works for me. And friends are here, and teachers understand, and it's decent, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, it's decent, but that doesn't make it any less awful. I like what you talked about. You know, there's no closure, and there might not be any sort of, you know, formal beginning. Yeah, you've dedicated four years to St. Andrews, and to not see an ending. I can't even imagine what that feels like. So anyway, I'm thinking about you guys. Moving on to something maybe a little more positive. What brings you the most joy?
That's hard.
Doesn't have to be anything big. You can just talk about things that make you happy.
Well, something that makes me really happy is working out. I love being in the weight room, especially with friends. And this past year, I got especially really close to Abby because we did winter workout together and we pushed each other so much. That's what makes me really happy, feeling powerful, you know, as a woman in a place that sometimes is really male dominated, I guess. And I guess those are some of the big things. And another thing maybe is I love to travel the world. with friends or alone, or with my family, it amazes me, like, the different cultures everywhere around the world. And I've had the opportunity to kind of go to different places and learn their languages and talk to locals, which really makes me happy. So yes, those are all the things. I think my number one would probably be traveling, just because, I don't know, the world can be bad sometimes, but it's also so beautiful when you go to the right places. Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite places that you've been or traveled to?
Yeah, I recently, this past summer, this is actually one of my favorite family vacations. We went to the Maldives, whatever it is, for a week or so. And it was so great, like, just to be alone without technology, without any distractions. It was amazing. Like, we would do yoga before the sun rose, and we would, like, go on to, like, a really small private island, like, right in the middle of nowhere. And it's so peaceful, and it's so amazing. I guess that's one thing. I also really like two years ago and 3 years ago, during the summers, I traveled alone because I really wanted to pick up a fourth language. Just because it's so cool. One of my biggest goals, it just in life, I think it's on my bucket list right now, is to be able to communicate, whether it's a little broken or, I guess, fluently in the case of English, like the five biggest languages of the world. So English, French, Mandarin, Spanish, and maybe Arabic. Yeah. So I really, really loved traveling to Mexico and to Costa Rica. I stayed booked in both of those places for around a month each, and I stayed with a host family. It was so fun. It was like a gap year experience, kind of, but I was so young, and I was surrounded by people who were like college students and in their mid-20s. It was so cool. Yeah. So those are my places.
That's like incredible. No. I love, I really, really resonate with what you're talking about, languages. Anyway, it just makes me so happy listening to you talk about that. That's so, so cool. That you, like, just go out and do things. I was in Italy this past summer by myself, working, and it was, like, the same. It's just this, like, exciting. Anyway, that's so, so cool that's just one of your passions. So, maybe moving on to St. Andrews a little bit, what are some of your favorite St. Andrews memories?
Emily mentioned this already in her podcast, but something that I'll never forget is when a group of friends and I, we hiked all around the pond, we picnicked out there, we walked through swamps, we laughed ourselves to death. It was amazing. And then we came back to school, all muddy and disgusting. We grabbed a piece of cake from the dining hall, and we just sat out on the four-square court eating the food after walking for hours. That was really, really fun. That's one thing that comes to mind. I think that might be the one thing that really sticks out to me. It was like sophomore year, and we didn't have a lot of work to worry about, and like there wasn't any drama, and it was just us having fun out in the woods. Yeah, so that's one.
If you want to, but that's awesome.
I might come back to that later.
You can. You can weave it into everything. Anyway, that's so, so cool. Yeah, Emily. The way Emily talked about it, she was just anyway. Awesome. So tell me about a moment in your life that you feel is sort of really important in shaping who you are. And it can be any moment from any time. And the question might imply something big, but it really doesn't have to be. Just sort of something that you remember that's had an impact on you.
I don't know if this is one moment exactly, but it was just the entire journey of being a coxswain. Something that I had no idea about. Like, I didn't know what rowing was. At first, when I came to the school, I thought, when someone said rowing, I thought of, like, kayaking or, like, canoeing or something like that. So when Miss Burl looped me into this, it definitely changed the way that I see myself a lot. And after freshman year, especially during sophomore year, mid-season, that was a really important moment in my life because, of course, there was stress that came with being a coxswain, and kind of when things don't go right, it ends up being your responsibility. But I think that rowing really brought me a lot of confidence. I mean, I remember coming in as a freshman so unsure of who I was and what I wanted to be and how I was going to talk to other people in general, like how I was going to present myself to others. And I think that once I started to like sink into this mindset of like competition, of intensity and of teamwork and of like being this type of like, I guess like, I don't want to say leader because I think everyone plays such an equal part in getting a boat to row fast, but it definitely changed me a lot to know that like 8 people were constantly listening to me and depending on what I was going to say. Like if I said one like trigger word, I could see the boat go faster. I could see the splits dropping. And to understand my impact in that way was really amazing. I think I was talking to, I forget, it was one of the other seniors. Oh, it was Tim, because I remember my very first table was with Tim. I think it was Tim. It might be good to not include his name in it, just in case I get it wrong.
Don't worry.
But this senior was telling me about how he thought I was the most shy, like the most like quiet and innocent little girl freshman year, which I guess I kind of was, but he just said that for some reason, like I didn't grow at all, which is kind of sad, but I didn't grow in the past 4 years, like physically, but he said that somehow, like the way that I carry myself down the hallways in the dining hall or like in a classroom or something was a lot more, I guess, present. Yeah, so rowing really changed that about me. So much of it is confidence. I remember, like, sometimes I would do yoga with Miss Brownlee. I love Miss Brownlee. And she would do this thing where she says, like, think about one word that you want to embody. And the first thing that comes to mind is confidence. Yeah.
That's amazing. I love hearing you talk about that. That's great. You're just a great storyteller. I mean, it really is. I feel like I'm there with you and there, you know, in your space when you talk about that. So anyway, really awesome. This is a hard question, but who in your life do you feel particularly connected to and or grateful for and why? And you could mention multiple people, as many people as you want.
I think for the sake of this podcast, I'm going to stick to seniors only. I want to say all my roommates, especially Emily Payton, has been there with me through all 4 years of St. Andrews, and she's helped me through so much. She understands me, like all of my flaws and all of the things that I struggle with and all of the things that I'm proud of in myself. And she can read me so well, like when I'm frustrated or when I need someone or when I just need time alone. She's always there for me, and she's the kindest person I know. Like the genuine kindness that you find in not a lot of people in the world, really. So there's Emily, and there's definitely also Campbell and Karen, or I guess Tatiana now. They both, I've been with them for 2 years. I'm really glad that I joined them after freshman year, just because they helped me realize that a lot of it isn't like, like you have friends and I guess you have a group of friends that you hang out with a lot at school, but that shouldn't define like who you're close to at school. And that's something that I understood, that like you can totally connect with people on a whole nother level, and you can have fun, and you can bond at functions or late nights or whatever. But like they have really taught me that it's so much about putting in the effort. And like I still have picnics and dinners, and we still text together always. Yeah, so they've helped me a lot. And then one last person, I don't want to go on forever, Abby Saz. She came in sophomore year, and I immediately clicked with her. I think especially doing three sports together, especially junior year, got us really, really close. We motivate each other to be stronger people in general, mentally and physically, I think. And she's like my partner in everything. And I'm glad she's there for me, and I'm there for her, and we understand each other really well. Yeah. So those are the people. I'm done.
That's awesome. I love hearing you talk about them. Yeah, I know all of them, all of those people you mentioned, mentioned to you. So it was really, really, was it Karen or, no, Tatia, was it, or was it Campbell that gave a really, I think it was Campbell that talked about what it was like you're rooming together sophomore year and how everyone thought that it wasn't going to work out, but how it was awesome and like the best experience of her life. And she was so, so happy and grateful that she had done it. Anyway.
Yeah. We're iconic. We're 100% iconic. You see a lot of these people at school that click when they're so different. And I think that's really beautiful. Like finding these people that could work really well with you, and to have them listen to you and to have fun with you and everything. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have any major regrets? If you could turn back time and redo anything, what would it be and why? And this can be from any moment in your life.
I played basketball freshman year, and I was clueless. I was so lost and overwhelmed by everything, and I was so small, and that was a time when I really struggled with confidence. I remember this so clearly, that I knew that this was exactly what got me onto varsity, was tryouts. I hadn't been doing super well because I get in my head a lot, but during tryouts, somehow I let loose at one point when we were doing 2-on-2, and I just drove and drove and drove, and I just didn't miss a basket. And I lost sight of that, I think, the more I play basketball. And maybe it doesn't have to be basketball specifically, but I guess my biggest regret is getting in my head so much about everything. I'm a huge overthinker about everything. And I want everything to be perfect. And and sometimes it's just like, I need to believe in myself more. And if I did back in freshman year, I think I would have gone a lot farther than I have now.
That's great. That's such an honest and thoughtful answer. So we're nearing the end. Two more questions. What does the future hold for you? I know that's really hard to ask, or to talk about, or to even think about right now, but is there anything you're really excited about, nervous for, scared maybe, looking forward to? And this doesn't necessarily have to be like next year I'm going to college. It could be, you know, if you're doing anything cool this summer, wanted to do anything cool this summer, you know, 10 years, where do you see yourself? Talk to me about the future, Chloe.
Yeah, that's intimidating, definitely. I guess I'm excited, but also really nervous about going to a big city for college after being in, I've lived in big cities, like in Paris and in Shanghai, but going to school in such a small community in like for the past 4 years gave me a sense of like a reassurance kind of like people always having my back. And I guess I'm excited about all the opportunity that lies ahead of me, but I'm definitely intimidated about finding that community again in such a big setting. And yeah, I guess that's something that I'm excited and nervous about. But I guess further along in 10 years or something, I've always wanted to do nonprofit work. I've been able to do some nonprofit work with volunteering at school, outside of school, interning, stuff like that. But I think I want to be international, or I want to work in an international setting, whether it is in a different country or like in the US surrounded by people of so many different cultures. And I want to fight for a cause, you know, and to dedicate everything that I've learned so far to good. I'm not really that interested in business or in being a doctor, whatever it is. I don't know. I just think it would be really cool to work at a nonprofit or to somehow make an impact internationally with my background. I know it's a little vague, but yeah, there's that.
That is so cool. And I know you'll get there. I can't wait to in 10 years. Like, Chloe, let me see what NGO Chloe's running or something. I think that'd be so awesome. And so with that, is there anything you want to say to your future self?
Yeah, I think I would tell myself to just let go of a lot of what's going on in my head sometimes, to believe in myself, that I've earned, that I deserve a lot of the things that I'm getting, and also that I need to continue to try to understand the true me, like who Chloe actually is, in a crisis or in like on a normal day. Just to know myself enough to say, okay, Chloe, like you've worked really hard for this, and now you need to cut yourself some slack and let go a little, or to not be so hard on yourself. And sometimes I need to recognize that I need to step it up, that I'm better than who I am currently, or whatever it is. I think so much of it is understanding who I am and giving myself grace, and giving myself grace but also being tough on myself. I guess that balance is so important for future me to succeed and to be happy. Yeah. And I guess another part is to keep myself open, to stay in touch with people, to reach out and to stay connected with the people that I love and the people that I want to get to know.